On tonight, we pray, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross, really just shove me out of the way and speak through me in a mighty way. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. All right, go ahead and be seated. Welcome to Faith Independent Baptist Church. So good to see you here tonight. We're in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Now, I'm probably only going to go over one verse. And we'll read verses 3 and 4, but I'm focusing in on verse 4. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. I mentioned that this chapter is all about fellowship. So when it says confess your sins in verse 9, you'll receive forgiveness of sins. Listen, it's all about fellowship. Verse 4, and these things write we write unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, something you may, you know, it says be careful for nothing in Philippians 4. What does that mean? That means don't be full of care. Be careful. Don't be full of care for anything, but let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, that's how careful is defined. And when you look at joyful, don't be full of care, but do be full of joy. Joyful. Now, you know, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to go ahead and turn to the book of Esther. Esther. In the book of Esther, and again, I mentioned that I'm working through two chapters in this devotional that we wrote, Daily Strength, and it covers joy, and that's what we're looking at tonight. And there's no way we'll finish it tonight. So, you know, it covers all these words. You can't really see them necessarily, but it's zeal and submission, purity, courage, joy, friendship, thanksgiving, peace, diligence, compassion, prudence, equity, kindness, contentment, truthfulness, discernment, faith, and so many others. But we cover all those words in a study in a doctrinal devotional book. And that's why I wrote the four devotionals. This is the first one. But what I want you to do is look at the book of Esther and let's look at this thing and try to define what is joy. A lot of people say, well, it's happiness, but that's not true. Happy and happiness is in the Bible. And what the Bible does, and this is going to be a very important lesson for you to get, the Bible defines itself within the context of many verses. What it'll do is repeat the words, and it'll connect them. So, Esther 8, verse 15. Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel, blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. Now, let me ask you, you say, well, rejoiced, yeah, we're looking at joy, right? Rejoiced. And that is what we're talking about. Joy has to do with rejoicing. And you go and look, and it means about being glad. Look at verse 16. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Verse 17. And in every province and every city, whithersoever the king's commandment, his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. So you had a lot of converts to Judaism because of this thing that happened. So what the devil meant for bad, God used for his glory and good. And listen, that's the way it is with everything. I have situations in my life where I'm like, you know, I don't really ask the Lord anymore why. It's just like, hey, the more that happens in a negative sense, the more blessed I become. You know, we were talking about all the blessings that Barbara mentioned, and you know, you say, well, she had to go to the hospital. Yeah, she got a blessing. You know, the dog, and they came in and said, all right, we're going to take care of that. And you know, listen, in your wildest dreams, you would never suspect that would be the outcome of the thing. Oh my goodness, they want us to get rid of the dog. It's going to, you know, Michael's just going to be distraught. What are we going to do? Oh, well, it's all solved because God intervenes. And it isn't the way we would do it. We would look at it and go, no, 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 we need to go next door and yell at that lady and tell her she's wrong and straighten her up because she's being selfish. Well, she thinks you're being selfish. So what you do is you just let God work the thing out. And listen, He does. It's just not in our time. Sometimes you got to be a little patient. Words in your Bible, this is what I want to teach tonight, have associative properties with other words. This one is rejoiced, joy, and glad. Gladness and joy. Joy and gladness. You see it there in verse 15, 16, and 17. When you're looking at the definition of joy, many people, as I said, they think about being happy or happiness in general. But the Bible doesn't associate joy primarily with being happy. A careful consideration, look at Psalm 51, will identify that joy is associated with words like glad and gladness. Glad, gladness. People, you know, I get a call today and they say, well, how are you doing? I just say, fabulous. Now, when I was sick the last couple days, I don't know that anybody asked me how I was doing because you can sort of listen and go, I don't need to ask him. He sounds terrible. And they don't ask, so I don't have to lie. You know, I would not have said fabulous when I'm sick. I'm a terrible patient. I've got a great nurse. She takes care of me. And I don't reciprocate as well as I probably should, but I did not share it thus far. Oh, Lord, let it be so. So when you look at the connection, it's consistent throughout the Bible. Specifically connected to gladness of heart. Now look, we all got a heart problem. The heart is desperately wicked. You know, when you look at the heart, we all have a heart problem, but our problem is our heart sometimes controls our emotions, and our emotions get all messed up. When anything comes that we don't want to come, I get sick and I'm like, can't do what I want to do. I didn't, you know, for, let's see, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I couldn't, you know, do a 5K. So Tuesday, Wednesday, yesterday and today I did. And I was dragging when I came back in. It was hot. It was 71 degrees when I went out there. So I wasn't used to it. And so, but when you look at it, I wasn't very happy that I was now in shape, getting better, walking, running, and now I'm back to walking. But at least I got to walk for 2 days. And that's how you have to look at things. Psalm 51, look at what verse 8 says. Make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know, it's saying, look, there's some problems. And we'll look at Psalm 51 in depth later. But it says, make me to hear joy and gladness. You know, one of the things you need to do is you need to make sure that you can hear joy and gladness. You got to open your ears to hear the right thing. If you saturate your mind with negativity, you're going to be a negative person. You're going to be a hateful person. You're going to be terrible to be around. I do not like to be around complainers. We all complain. But I don't want to be around it much. It's like this. Okay, I'm around it. When you're done, I'm going to walk away. I had a situation. I was doing my 5K and I walked up and there was some people and they were arguing. And I'm city council. So I stopped and, you know, and I listened for a while. And this guy says, I want you to take that grate and I want you to move it 20 feet down that way. And the engineer and the people working said, well, you know, we can't do that. No, we want you to do it. You got to do it. And it was cracked. And, oh, my mom got a flat tire on it. I said, sir. And then they invited me in. They said, well, the city council's right here. I said, when did the flat tire? Oh, it just happened. I said, okay. Well, you haven't gone to the city then. No, I hadn't gone to the city. I said, here's how it's going to work. I need to have your decision right now. Do you want them to fix that concrete that now probably caused the flat tire? Or do you want to come before the city council and do you want to have the engineering done and then, you know, they're going to have to bring this group back out here because they're not going to be able to do it while they're doing this work on Valpy. I said, just, you got to tell me one or the other. Now, it's only going to be one or the other. If you tell me you want them to fix that right there, they're going to fix it. They already told you that. I said, but if you tell me you want to go before the city council, they're not going to fix that, and then you may have to wait a while before the city council can approve engineering and everything else. You tell me what you want to do. Oh, let's just fix this and see how it goes. I said, all right, we're done. We're done. But boy, he was just wanting to fight with it. They were there 30 minutes before I got there. They were there 20 more minutes while he told me the whole thing again. And then the end solution is, look, we'll help you, but just stop complaining. You can't. This is city right-of-way. You know, you don't get to tell us. It's like this guy the other day. You know, we had Mel Ponder in there, county commissioner, and you guys were there. And this guy says, well, I know some people up there in the north end that, you know, did you ask them if they want their road paved? Dumbest question I've ever heard in my life. No, you don't ask people, do you want your road fixed? Yeah, and it's not even theirs. Yeah, you're right. But people want to do that. I don't like to be around that. I do not. So listen, I get around it. Sometimes, you know, you just have to listen, and you listen, you smile, you pray, and you want to help them, but you want to just say, look, you've got to figure out how not to be so negative. Your negativity is not going to get out of me or some other people what you think it's going to get you. I just tell you, I use honey most of the time. Now, I used to do the other part, you know, for a long time, you know, and I just chew people out. And I was like, you know what? That person I'm chewing out doesn't even have the authority to make that decision. And once I came to that conclusion, I was like, you know, okay. So the other day, I'm helping Heather, and this, I told this lady, I said, look, I said, she needs to have the plugs. I said, you got a what's the plug with the silver and the black cord? It's not Cat 6, Cat 5. It is a cable television. Coaxial. It's a coaxial. And I told her, I said, ma'am, it's coaxial coming out. And, you know, she's got to have, you know, a Cat 5, Cat 6. And she just doesn't understand. She finally says, can I get you to a supervisor? I said, oh, yes, please. And she does that, and the lady, the supervisor, comes on, we talk for a minute. She says, oh, you need it hardwired. And I went, yeah. Oh, well, we'll send some extra wires out there. But look, I never lost it. Now, in my old self, I'd have chewed the lady out. You know what she probably was? New on the job. No clue what I'm talking about. And I just had to learn patience. I was not very patient. We've been moving all day. You know, I wasn't feeling completely well, but I have to learn that I have to do it all the time. You can't go, well, I'm just gonna blow it with this person because I don't feel good and I want them to feel bad. And by the way, we don't ever think that. I don't feel good, so I'm gonna make sure everybody around me knows it. Listen, I'm just saying, you want joy, then one of the things you got to do is give out joy. And that means when we see this, when we see some of the examples of people that are going through the world, in tribulation, you should have joy. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say, well, when you're out of the tribulation, then you should have joy. It doesn't say that. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, whenever you suffer tribulation. When you're in those things, you've got to learn to trust God. He's in control. He didn't lose control when you had a problem come in your life that you don't understand. He did not lose control. So as we go on, look at Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Verse 43. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. You see how that glad and that gladness is attached to that joy? It's not happiness, it's gladness, being glad. I could take you to Deuteronomy or 1 Kings, Esther again. But look at Psalm 43. I want to go ahead and change stream a little. I want to talk about the joy in the Lord. The joy in the Lord. You could say joy of the Lord, joy in the Lord. But Psalm 43, verse 4. He says, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God. He says, unto God my exceeding joy. You know why? Maybe we got a problem. Perhaps men lack the joy of the Lord because they disregard the Lord of the joy. We don't have the joy of the Lord because we don't look at the Lord that has the joy. And we've got to consider that. I want this church to be a church, and listen, you are. When people come through those doors, they say you're the nicest church. But I want you to be that outside too. You know, I put on a suit and tie. You don't see me all the time in a suit and tie. I mean, I just soon have, you know, running jogging pants on and sweatshirt, t-shirt, whatever. But I put this on and I dress up, and you look at me and you go, well, boy, he looks respectable. Well, I need to be as respectable acting out there as I look in here. And don't you look at me and think that, oh, you don't really look respectful. You look like a little dweeb. I just thought I'd help you guys out a little bit. So look at Psalm 43. Well, I just gave you that one. He talks about it being exceeding joy. Look at Psalm 16. Psalm 16. The Bible provides several sources of man's joy. Each source can in some way be directly traced back to the Lord. Every one of them. Psalm 16, look at verse 11. You notice where it says the fullness of joy in God's presence there? We need the fullness of joy in God's presence. Look at Psalm 35. Now, the Bible indicates that man's soul can be joyful in the Lord. Psalm 35, 9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and it shall rejoice in His salvation. Maybe we've lost the reality of salvation. You've heard it said, and I'll say it. You know, the worst day that I have is still better than any day I had lost. So think about that. So when you're looking at things, you really ought to consider that look, no matter how bad it gets, you're saved, you're sealed, you're secure, you know where you're going when you die, and any day with the Lord, no matter how bad it might get, and things can get bad, is still better than being lost. I still remember, and that's, you know, that's 40 years ago plus. Look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. I just feel like when I talk about this subject, it's convicting to me because I need to make sure I have the joy of the Lord. I need to practice what I preach. I need to believe that that this is important enough not only to preach it, but to live it. Isaiah 61, look at verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Look at that. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For why? He clothed me with the garments of salvation. Maybe your focus is wrong. If you can't have joy in the Lord, maybe what it is you're just thinking on the wrong things. You look at what Paul wrote. Paul wrote, think on these things. And you ought to read that list. That which is true, that which is godly, that which is wholesome. Listen, he's describing all those things. And he says, think on these things. You say, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can retrain your brain. Just like it says, men, love your wives. What does that mean? Well, it's a command from God. Well, I can't love her. I don't love her anymore. It's a choice that you make. You make a choice to do that. If God commands you to do it, you can do it. That's the way it is. And that's the same thing with joy. He tells us that we ought to have joy. We ought to have joy. We ought to be rejoicing. I'm telling you, let's rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Look at Psalm 21. Psalm 21 associates joy directly with God's strength. You know why some of us don't have strength? Because we don't have joy. You know why we don't have joy? Is because we don't have God's strength. Psalm 21:1, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice? Now you see that rejoice. You see how that's repeated because it's associating joy and rejoicing and rejoicing and joy. Listen, we need to rejoice. We need to, of all people, we ought to have joy. And we ought to rejoice. And we ought to love the Lord and love others and just say, hey, I'm going to do my best to have that joy and that rejoicing. Look at Jeremiah 15. God's word provides a source of joy for the saint. The source of joy, here it is. Jeremiah 15, 16. Thy words were found, I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. He associates the joy of the heart for the saint with the word of God. I tell you, the more I for several days I didn't get to listen to Scorby read me the Bible because I always do it, you know, when I'm doing my 5K. And you know, I could do it at other times, but I've got other things going, and it's a habit that I have, so I turn it on and I listen. I've gone through Matthew, I'm in Mark right now, and you know, sometimes I go 55 minutes. It takes that long to do 3 miles sometimes, unless I run some. But what I'm telling you is I missed that. So I could have done it anyway, but I missed it because that's my routine. And I'm telling you, when he gets to talking, sometimes I'll daydream, start thinking about things, and I'll force myself to come back to listening to him. But boy, it makes a world of difference in my life. The more you saturate your mind with the Word of God, the more joy you will have in this life. There's your solution. We can close the Bible right now and be done because I really don't have anything else to say other than that. If the Word of God will give you the joy, the Word of God will help you rejoice. If you're not rejoicing and you don't have the joy, maybe the problem is you're not in His book enough. You don't read His love letter to you. And the more you read His love letter to you, the more you become like Christ. The more you become like Christ, the more joy you have. The more joy you have, the more you rejoice. The more you got people around you that are rejoicing because you're rejoicing. It's hard to be around somebody that puts a smile on their face and has a good time in life if you're not. It's tough. I don't mind making it hard on people. I really don't. I want to enjoy life. And listen, I get all kinds of pressures on me. I get all kinds of things going on and, you know, people saying this, people saying that. You know, so what? The Lord will take care of it. He'll either do it through me or do it through somebody else or do it straight Himself, but He's going to take care of it all. I don't need to get all wrapped up in it. Why? It'll steal my joy. It'll steal my joy. Look at Romans chapter 5. In the New Testament, the book of Romans identifies God as the saints' source of joy. Specifically, the joy comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. What does he say? We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're missing the joy, it's because your relationship with Jesus Christ is not what it needs to be. How do you fix that? Get into His Word. Pray. Now look, let me think about Debbie right now. She's got cancer. She went for treatment. They couldn't do it. Sounds pretty depressing and all that stuff, and she doesn't feel well. I'm not talking about, I already told you, I was, okay, here's Debbie sick. Here's Doug sick. I lost some of my joy for a few days. So I'm not talking about her. She doesn't need to be bouncing around. Now, she bounces around here a whole lot more than I think I ever could. I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, come on. I don't like being sick, and all I had was a little sniffle stuff and cough, and Judy had to leave me for a while and go to the other room. She did come back. So we're back together. Heather left, and we're back together. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. But I don't want you to be unrealistic. I don't want you to look at somebody and go, oh, you just got hit by a bus. Why don't you have a smile on your face? You see how unrealistic that is? Okay. Well, we're not talking about that in my life. I had a little cold. But I'll tell you, I lost a little joy for a couple days. Ecclesiastes, joy is a gift from the Lord. Ecclesiastes 2:26, for God giveth to a man that which is good in his sight. Wisdom and knowledge, look at this, and what? Joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail. People wonder why they're so miserable. They're miserable because they don't live for God. Man, I got people that'll quote scripture. You know, I got all this scripture I'm going to quote to you because I'm going to judge you. And man, they're hypocritical in what they do. I don't mean anybody in this church. They're hypocritical in what they do. And then you wonder why they don't have any joy. It's right there. You'll have joy because it comes from God. But he gives travail to those that are going to be hypocritical, judgmental. They're judging hypocritically. Every time you see judging in the Bible, you're warned not to judge hypocritically. He says, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. So God takes what that person, that hypocrite does, and he gives it to that person that's got the joy, and he gives them more joy. What I'm saying is, look, you run into somebody that is just hateful, and the guy today a little bit, you know, and listen, I reasoned with him, and after we walked off, they said, man, we told him that 30 minutes ago. And I said, I get it. I said, but I had to get him down to where he had two choices. Do you want that fixed now? Do you want them to leave it? And then you can come before city council, and you're talking 3 years down the road before the engineering's done. And I didn't say 3 years. But he knew. And he said, well, let's fix it and see what happens. Done. But man, that guy was thinking, man, I can push these guys to move this thing down. Man, they don't have the authority to do that. I don't have the authority to do that. But I'm just saying, you just get around people and you want to say, look, it's not working. You're miserable, you want to make us miserable, and you're not going to make me miserable, buddy. Not at all. I'm going to try to help because I have a responsibility to help people. Not only in that position, but in my life, period. I have a responsibility, and you do too. So don't think that this is just a pastoral thing. All of us have a responsibility to make other people's lives joyful with gladness of heart. He goes on in that verse, and he says, this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. So, joy is given to man by God, but not indiscriminately to every man. Apparently, joy is given to those who are not sinners in the sense of wallowing in it. When the Bible, you know, we're all sinners. We've all sinned. We all come short of the glory of God. Do we get saved? We get saved. We're just saved sinners. But when it talks about sinners, it's talking about somebody that just wants to wallow in the sin and the misery. I'll tell you, have you ever met anybody just miserable? We could all be like that. I'll tell you what'll stop you from being a miserable person. You get in that Bible and you let that Bible speak to you. And you let that Bible change you. And you let that Bible work on you and mold you and take your heart and squeeze it. And you won't be a miserable person anymore. But people, some people, they wallow in that stuff and they're just miserable. And then they, you know what they want? Misery loves company. So does joy. You know, have you ever heard joy loves company? You have never heard that. I've never heard that. But you realize that's true? You don't listen, if you're upbeat in life, you want others around you to be the same way. And you want to influence them to be that way. The best way to do it is, number one, you got two ears, one mouth. You listen. Speak less. Listen. Show a kindness, show you care. Listen, I stood there for 15 minutes without saying a word in that group until he introduced me. He said, well, city council's right here. And so, you know, that was it. I was able to minister to the guy. Everyone sins. But the verse speaks to the fact that God does not openly bless the sinner who has no desire for God to help him overcome his sinful ways. Our passage reveals that God considers it good in His sight for a man to have joy. Now, if God thinks it's a good thing for you to have joy, don't you think it ought to be a good thing for you to try to attain to a joyful spirit? God's true desire for man is for him to have joy. James 1:17 affirms that every good gift, every perfect gift, is from above. What do you think joy is? It's a gift. We already looked at that. It's from above. Comes down from God. It's up to us to live it out. And it is a choice. That doesn't mean you're not going to have a bad day. You know, I can have a bad day, bad week, bad hour. I hope I don't get to a month, you know. I mean, I get that. You can have that. But the point is, do you know that you're having a bad hour, bad week, bad time? Do you know it? If you don't know it, the first part of recovery is admitting the problem. I don't know if that has got to be my phone. It's my phone. That's you. Oh, love you. Good night. That must be Heather three-way with us. All right. Look at Luke chapter 10. I forgot to silence my phone. Good thing I don't chew everybody out for not silencing their phone. Because that would be real hypocritical right at this moment. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Can you imagine being at that time and going out and you cast out a devil because you're one of the apostles? And man, you know, even man, just the joy. And those 70, they went out, and then when they came back in, they returned again with joy. You know what I want you to do when you leave tonight? I want you to leave with joy. But I want you to come in Sunday with joy. Now, I don't know that we have a problem. I really don't know. I don't know if we got some prune-eating people out there or not. You know, just persnickety people. I don't know. I mean, I really don't. You think about it. I mean, we're on our best behavior in here. There ain't anybody that comes in here and goes, I'm here now. Bless me. I don't know there's anybody in here like that. Kinda? Kinda dark. Okay. So what are some of the things that we can do as believers that will bring us lasting joy? Far too many people think joy surfaces once the stresses of life cease or at least begin to diminish. That's not true. You can look at, and I could give you a lot of verses that you could look at. The disciples found joy through what God had done in and through them. Are you looking at how God's working through you enough? I mean, really, listen, that's, you know, we talk about it, and you know, I think about the prayer requests we made, and God working through you, and God using you to minister. Do you look at that and go, well, man, that's great. That brings me joy. It brings me joy to know that I've helped somebody else out. Look at Isaiah 49. Looking at the expressions of joy. In Isaiah 49, verse 13, he says, sing, O heavens, and be joyful. O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. Listen, people express joy in different ways. Some expressions involve tears, tears of joy. Some laughter. Some simple words of praise. You know, praise the Lord, praise God, glory. Each expression of joy stems from the goodness of God. With all those variations, the Bible repeats a few expressions in conjunction with people having joy. Several times we're told that people of God rejoiced with great joy. Now, if I have a choice, do I want joy or do I want great joy? I'm always going to take the great joy. And he tells you that. You can look in 1 Kings, Nehemiah, elsewhere. But this joy on the part of the people of God generally manifests itself in vocal expressions of praise. If you're not praising God, it's probably because you don't have the joy of the Lord in your heart. You ought to look at it. Listen, your words tell a lot about where your heart condition is. If you're always complaining, there's a problem with your heart. If you're always, if you're downgrading people, building yourself up even. I mean, if you're doing that, there's a problem with your heart. And we've always got to check those things. The joy on the part, well, the Bible connects joy with music. Yep, he does. Just not the way the world looks at it, though. I'll just leave it at that. Though the Bible conveys various types of expressions, true joy cannot be hidden. It can't be hidden. Look at John chapter 15, and then we'll stop there and pick it up next time. John 15. Look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's what Jesus said. He said, I've spoken these things to you. That's the Word of God. We got it right here. That my joy might remain in you. See, if you don't keep the joy in you, it won't last. And that your joy might be full. Joyful. We need to be joyful. Listen, I've got to tell you, I know times in my life when I was very negative. And I don't want to be. I do not want circumstances to control me. I do not want people around me to control me in a negative way. So I'm just telling you, look, if you have a bad day, you have a bad day. Don't take it out on your spouse. You have a bad day, don't take it out on your employees, employers, or coworkers, or church. Just look at it and say, hey, I got to get through today. Pray for me. That's a good thing. Pray for me. You're struggling. You ought to ask God and ask others. Look, I'm struggling. Be honest with people. It's okay. I preached on joy, but that doesn't mean everybody's got to be just this bubbling little thing, No. It's not always that easy. However, you ought to know whether you are or you aren't. And the biggest part in my life was when I could look in the mirror and be honest with the guy in the mirror. And then I've already told you, when people tell me things, I say, well, there's got to be an element of truth in there somewhere. So I consider everything somebody says. And I say, where do I need to improve? Or are they just full of it? And then you look at it and go, well, they're not. There is something there. And you listen, you consider, and you get alone with God and you say, Lord, I need to fix something. Or maybe I don't, but you know, if I do, would you help me? That's a great prayer. And God will help you. Be honest with Him. He already knows. But He wants to hear from you and He wants you to be honest with Him. Let's all stand together. If you didn't get enough of it, we'll probably do it Sunday morning too. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for many blessings, guide, lead, and direct in all things. We thank you for being such a wonderful, merciful, loving Savior. Lord, we pray for your will to be done in everything. In Jesus' name. With your head bowed and eyes closed.